Hey, good morning, church family. Pastor Stephen here. And hey, happy Sunday. In case you hadn't heard yet, we are not having services at our church this morning due to COVID, a little bit of a scare at the Snaza household. But we're just praying and believing that things continue to go well for Kirk and Marnie and their family and their household. And so anyway, I wanted to come at you today with a quick little video, and there's no frills here, all right? This is morning breath, morning hair, football camp t-shirt pajamas, and we're just going to spend some time together today. And so why don't we start with prayer? So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to get together, even though we can't necessarily be together at the same place today. Lord, I thank you that we can gather together and just spend some time listening to you and reflecting on all it is that you have to show us and tell us today. And so, Jesus, I just pray for your blessing over Kirk and Marnie, over Callie and Taylor and Aspen. And Jesus, we just pray for your healing over their family and over their household, and protection over all of us in our church family during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So anyway, I just wanted to do a quick little video for you, and kind of a little bit of a sermon with you guys this morning. And so just kind of track with me a little bit as I fumble my way through the technology stuff alone. Usually I have Kirk right beside me, who he's doing a lot more of the techie things. So this is me taking a go at it right here in my dining room. And so I just want to start with a little bit of a review from Kirk's sermon last week. And if you didn't get a chance to watch that video or listen to our sermon online, I would encourage you to please do that, because it was so good. Especially he had this portion where he was talking about the difference between living in the spirit and living according to the flesh. And a lot of times we'd like to think that living according to the flesh, it's just this, it's so overt, right? It's drunkenness and all these, and murder and stuff like that. And when he was doing that portion, it was really interesting. Sorry, the light is a little bit crazy right there as the sun is now coming through the trees. But what stood out to me is just how subtle living according to the flesh can be. And a lot of times I think we don't realize that we're living according to the flesh or walking in the flesh because of how subtle it actually is. And so please do me a favor and make sure you go back and rewatch his sermon from last week. And just a couple key things here. He was talking about how what we see and hear in the natural can oftentimes negatively impact our ability to see and hear in the spiritual. And so we've been talking about spiritual senses and how we have physical senses, right? Eyes, ears, mouth, nose, fingers, that we use to interpret the world around us. You know, those are our physical senses, but just like we have physical senses, we actually have spiritual senses. And Kirk was talking about there's an imbalance, right, in our lives where so much of the information and the way that we process the world around us comes through those physical senses. And he was talking about how we're soul, spirit, and body. And we can't be in an imbalance where most of our information, the way that we process information, comes from our soul and our body. We're meant to tap into our spirit. And so that's kind of what our series is focusing on right now. And so so he was talking about also how we can change. We can actually change the way or how we see and hear. And Trisha and I had this conversation with our kiddos last night. We did our family worship night last night. And Trisha was talking to the kiddos about how training our spiritual senses is a lot like training our muscles. and how our muscles get used to different things, different exercises, different weights as we work out and exercise. And we have this thing called muscle memory. I don't know if you know this or not, but muscle memory is what allows me as a 38-year-old man to still be able to get into my football stance because I was in my football stance for most of my high school and junior high career. And so because I was used to getting into that stance every single day, I could still get up and get into my alignment stance because of muscle memory. And so just like we want to train our muscles to be sensitive and respond to different situations in the physical world, we want to train our spiritual senses to be able to respond in the spiritual world, but also in the natural world. Okay, and so we're going to kind of hit at that, and then and again, kind of the last thing was just how subtle living according to the flesh actually is. It's not as overt as we'd like to think it is. It's actually quite subtle. And that's why Paul comes at it from so many different angles in the letters that he wrote in the New Testament. And so anyway, so my question today is, all right, and I don't have Kirk beside me to put him on the spot. So what in your life has been distracting you from truly seeing and hearing what God has been revealing and speaking? Okay, what in your life has been distracting you? Because just as Kirk was talking about how what we see and hear in the natural negatively impacts how we see and hear in the spiritual, one of the reasons why that is because we are distracted. And 2 weeks ago, he did a sermon about talking about how the church is too full. Okay, and he listed, you know, what are we filling up on, right? What is it that we are filling our lives up on? It might be TV, it might not be. Okay, it might be a busy schedule, it might not be. It might be Facebook, it might not be. It might be vacations can actually make you full. Believe it or not, not having a vacation makes you full, believe it or not. I say all that to say that we're distracted as a church, okay? And one of the ways that we can do this season, as unpleasant as it has been at times, one of the ways that we can do this season well is to cut out the distractions in our lives and really get to a place where we start to really see and hear, truly see and truly hear what God is revealing. And so I want to take you actually to a passage this morning that focuses actually on this. It's Isaiah chapter 42 is where I'm going to be reading from today, and I got my Bible. And so I encourage you to have yours as well, because I don't have the fancy tools to put the scripture on the screen for you or anything like that this morning. But I'm going to read verse 16, and then I'm going to jump ahead to verses 18 through 20. And I want you to see something in this passage here. All right. So this is Isaiah 42, starting in verse 16. And Isaiah's writing, but he's quoting the Spirit of the Lord who's been speaking through him in the prophetic right now. He says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. And I'm going to skip ahead now to verse 18. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send, who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? And then look at verse 20. You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. And so I was looking at this passage, and what stood out to me as I was reading it is it seemed to be like there was this almost like back and forth here in the passage between what I would call good blindness and deafness, and bad blindness and deafness. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean, I feel like in one essence, okay, going back to the conversation we were just having about being distracted, I believe that there is a good blindness and deafness in that God wants us to stop hearing and seeing the things that He's not revealing. Okay? So good blindness and deafness is being blind and deaf, so not seeing and not hearing what God isn't revealing. Whereas on the flip side, bad blindness and deafness is seeing and hearing so much of the things that God isn't revealing and being distracted by those. Okay, so cutting out the distraction. So where am I getting that from, right? Well, take a look at verse 16 again. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. I get a sense from verse 16 that that's good blindness and deafness, right? Look at how God is speaking. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light. I will lead them, right? It seems like there's a tenderness there. But then you jump to verse 18, and now it's almost like this exclamatory statement. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Like, pay attention, right? It's almost like this. All of a sudden, there's this tenderness here, and then almost this like sharp contrast here, right? So now it seems like, oh, blind and deaf is a bad thing, right? But then look at verse 19. Who's blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant of the Lord? And if you're familiar with Isaiah 42, it's actually a big portion about talking about the servant of the Lord and alluding to Jesus. And then if you read Isaiah 43, obviously it is definitely talking about Jesus. But so there it seems like, oh, blind but my servant, deaf like my messenger, blind like the one committed to me, blind like the servant. So that's good, right? That's good blind and good deaf, right? And then all of a sudden, look at the turn again in verse 20. You have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. Now that definitely seems like bad blindness and deafness, right? And so there's this almost tug of war, okay, or a juxtaposition. I use that word a lot, I'm sorry, but a juxtaposition is when you place two opposites right side by side in a way to clarify this is good, this is bad, right? And that's what we see in Isaiah 42 here, is there's good blindness and deafness and there's bad blindness and deafness in the spiritual sense. So on one hand, God wants me to see and hear what He is truly revealing. On the other hand, God doesn't want me to see and hear what He isn't revealing, right? And that's what I'm seeing from this passage, right? So there's this good blindness, and deafness is what I would call, it's indicative of dependence on God. Whereas bad blindness and deafness is indicative of what I would call numbness to God. And so that's what I see in this passage is one is pulling me towards dependence on God and full reliance on the Father and His Holy Spirit. The other one is pulling me away to a point of numbness where I don't, as Isaiah writes it in verse 20, as he's quoting God, you have seen many things, but have paid no attention. Your ears are open, but you hear nothing. So good blindness and deafness is going to pull me to a place of reliance on the Father. Bad blindness and deafness, I'm so distracted, it's going to pull me to a point where I'm completely numb to what it is that God's trying to show me. All right, and so kind of want to hit you with a key concept as I close out here. So the biggest challenge, so we've been talking a lot about spiritual maturity, okay, in our services here at COC. And the biggest challenge of spiritual maturity, in my opinion, it actually isn't attaining maturity. Right? It's not. It's not actually attaining maturity. It's the biggest challenge of spiritual maturity is maintaining a sense of desperation all along the way. And what do I mean by that? A desperation where I am constantly in a place where, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for your presence. You know, think back to Moses's prayer in the desert when God is offering him a key fast track into the promised land, and Moses doesn't take the deal. He doesn't take the fast track to the promised land because taking that fast track meant God's presence wasn't going to go with them. Okay? You want the promised land, Moses? Go ahead, but I'm not coming with you, is kind of how God presents it to him. And Moses doesn't take the bait, and he doesn't want to go one more step. Okay? Not just a day, not just an hour. He doesn't want to go one more step without God's presence. And that's the kind of desperation that I'm talking about here, is the biggest challenge with spiritual maturity. It's not attaining spiritual maturity. It's maintaining this sense of desperation. It's staying in a place of desperation all along the way as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of who God is and who Jesus is and who I am. Because here's the deal. We tend to equate maturity with something called self-reliance in the natural world. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, as my kid matures, right? As Elliot grows up, he's going to learn to cook for himself. Okay, no longer am I going to have to cook food for him, right? He's going to learn to wash his own clothes. Okay, and I'm not going to have to wash his laundry, right? As his parent, right? So we tend to equate maturity in the physical world, in the natural world, with something called self-reliance. But in the spiritual world, when it comes to spiritual maturity and self-reliance are actually their inverse quantities. What does that mean? That means as one increases, the other one decreases. Okay, inverse quantities. So as I increase in spiritual maturity, actually, my self-reliance decreases. Okay, in the natural world, as I increase in maturity, my self-reliance increases, okay? In the spiritual world, it's the opposite. As I increase in spiritual maturity, I continually see more and more and more how I can't rely on self anymore, okay? And my self-reliance decreases, okay? John the Baptist, right, had an idea regarding this, or actually he kind of knew that this was to be true, and I want to show you this in scripture. Okay, so this is John chapter 3 verse 30, and John actually writes it like this. Now this is when Jesus is coming to be baptized, and John the Baptist, it's in a portion of scripture called his testimony about Jesus, right? And John writes it simply like this: he must become greater, I must become less. That's spiritual maturity. He becomes greater, I become less. As I progress in spiritual maturity, the elements of myself become increasingly non-existent. There becomes less and less and less of me, and more and more and more of him. Now, is that a bad thing? No, that's a good thing. What that does is it indicates that there's this transformation taking place in my life where I'm becoming more and more of the image bearer of the image of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, in my life. Okay, I become more and more of a bearer of him image and less of a bearer of the image of Stephen Schiltz, which that doesn't need to happen. And so he increases, I decrease. And so you guys, I just wanted to hit you with that passage and that message this morning. I hope you guys are doing well. And please continue to be in prayer for Kirk and Marnie and their family this week. Also, just a quick reminder, we do still have prayer scheduled for this Wednesday, September 30th, and I'll send out more information via Remind this week and on Facebook regarding that. And then also, men, we are still meeting or planning to meet this coming Saturday, I know October 3rd, at the church at 9:30 for men's breakfast. But I just want to pray a blessing over you guys. And so, Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you again, Father, for the opportunity, Lord. And I thank you for the challenge in Scripture today, Lord, that I decrease and you increase, Father. And as I walk in spiritual maturity, as we grow in spiritual maturity at COC, Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to stay and maintain a sense of desperation for you and your presence. Holy Spirit, just give us that strength to maintain that desperation for you. Cultivate that in our hearts this week, Lord. And we just pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys and have an awesome, awesome, awesome week, y'all. See ya.